Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Transformations Radio Show right here on Om Times Radio FM, the voice of consciousness, where you will find tools that you can use to change and transform your life. This is Sylvia Henderson, your host, and for those of you who are new to my show, I am an intuitive and an energy healer, and I'm located right here in beautiful Kirkland, Washington in the United States. And if you would like to learn more about me and the work that I do, please feel free to visit my website at intuitivetransformations.net. And hey, while you're there visiting my website, please be sure to like me on Facebook, sign up for my free email newsletter, News You Can Use. And if you really want to experience some positive changes in your life, then also sign up for Awaken Your Inner Alchemist. Now, Awaken Your Inner Alchemist is an ongoing monthly live group healing webinar, which I co-facilitate with Belinda Womack, who is a clear channel and the author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels. Awaken Your Inner Alchemist offers a wonderful opportunity for you to experience some really great teaching, some phenomenal life-changing healing for a really affordable nominal fee of only $39. Now, I am really excited about this month's Awaken because it takes place next month, and the focus is all about healing, abandonment, and suffering from past lives. So we're going to focus on suffering from past lives that are not forgotten and reclaiming any lost power that has been restricted or limited by those past lives. So it's really going to be an awesome webinar. It's Sunday, July 10th. Eastern Standard Time. If you want more information, it's all on my website, intuitivetransformations.net. And I hope to see you there. And if you're unfamiliar with Belinda Womack, she is a clear channel, and she's also the author of Lessons from the 12 Archangels. If you joined us before, please come back. As you know, it's every month, and it really is a wonderful call. It's a great opportunity also for you to have personal questions answered because there's always a live Q&A at the end. So today, I have Pauline Middleton joining me to talk about modern love, sex, and dating. Now, Pauline is a relationship and modern love coach who lives in Denmark, and she's written a fascinating book titled One Woman, Three Men, and it's a novel about modern love and sex. So before I bring Pauline on the air, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Pauline Middleton has been a modern love coach since 2010. Danish by birth, she holds a Master of Science in Economics and has worked extensively around the world. She has lived in Paris, Algeria, Hong Kong, and has visited 36 states in the United States and has worked for several companies in sales and marketing until she decided to become a coach. Pauline Middleton has actually lived with the three-man model for a period of her own life, and this is the model she talks about in her book. She has also conducted scores of interviews with people who live in either open or polyamorous relationships. Pauline is 53 years old and has an 18-year-old daughter with her first husband, whom she divorced after 6 years of marriage. After her divorce, Pauline had a number of long and short-term relationships, which led her to invent the three-man love relationship model, the one-woman, three-men love relationship model, which she used to find her own true love. In 2013, She met the Danish video photographer, I'm sure, and still life photographer, Steen Larsen, and they fell in love and married in 2014 and live in a farm outside of Copenhagen, Denmark. Wow, my lips are not working this today, guys. Pauline Middleton is the author of One Woman, Three Men, a novel about modern love and sex, which was first published in 2010 in Denmark and is her first book to appear on the American market. She is also the author of two other novels and a handbook of love called Seven Roads to Love, which is available as an ebook and print on demand. For more information about Pauline Middleton, please visit her website at modernloveandsex.com. Pauline Middleton, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sylvia, and for that detailed introduction.
Well, it's really a pleasure to have you here, and I really like showcasing authors so that people really know and understand that you really know what you're talking about in this book. This book is your own personal experience, is it not?
Well, it is definitely inspired by it, based upon it. There is a lot of real life story in there.
Yeah, even some great diary entries, as I recall.
Yes, that's right.
So, Pauline, what exactly is modern love? Because it's not a term that you hear very often. So can you just kind of give us an overview of what that is?
Yeah, modern love is about defining for yourself what you think is important in love, being quite concrete about it, and then going out and trying to find somebody who matches what you are looking for. So it is sort of taking the automatic pilot and putting it on standby, you know, not taking things for granted, not presuming that people around you necessarily have the same priorities or the same longings, but defining what you're longing for and then going out there to find somebody who longs for some of the same elements.
So how does this really differ then from the traditional love model? I mean, in a healthy love relationship, aren't those the same things that you're looking for?
Well, the way that we live love in society is based on a very different reality than the reality we're all living now. Because our model of love, you know, where you meet the high school sweetheart, you fall in love, you set up family, and then you stay faithful to each other the rest of your lives, because that is the sort of notion that we have. You know, that was based on a society where there were not a million choices, where there were not a million possibilities, where there was not the individual freedom of choice. So it's based on something that, you know, a much smaller world, actually. Whereas today, there are so many possibilities. So that also means that you need to make a conscious effort in order to find out, okay, I'm me, and I have these priorities and these longings and these curiosities. So how would I like my love life to be? So, you know, there's nothing automatic about it. Whereas many people think that love is, you know, either it's there or it's not. And actually, I don't think that is true anymore.
So it's interesting because it sounds like what one person really needs to do is start asking themselves questions like, what is it that I really want, versus looking at what the standard traditional model is, and then how do I fit this square peg into that round hole and make that work?
Yeah, exactly. And then also to tell yourself, okay, well, maybe one person is not one to actually fulfill all needs. You know, that's the model I'm operating with, and that's define all your needs and then identify which of your needs are the three most important ones. You know, the three most important needs you have, and then go and find a partner to match that. Whereas all the rest, you can either, you know, compromise greatly on it, or you can have it fulfilled by somebody else. So that one person doesn't have to fulfill everything for us, because it constantly doesn't work.
This does lead to a great deal of disappointment, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it's a disappointment that we didn't need to. We don't need to experience that. You know, it's the disappointment is all based on us having this sort of, you could say it's a somewhat childish definition that, oh, one person needs to meet my needs. Not necessarily. If he or she does, fine. But if she or she doesn't, you know, define the three most important areas and then fulfill each other there.
So this is really exactly the premise of your book, One Woman, Three Men, where you were looking at your top three needs. Would you mind very briefly just kind of sharing what those three categories or those three roles were that were most important for you?
Yeah, it was quite interesting when I sat down, you know, I tried to make a list and I was a bit tired, you know, I was a bit tired of love because I'd just been divorced and then I found a new guy and I found out he was cheating on me. So I was like, oh my, can I just maybe live by myself, you know, not have a partner? And then I sat down and tried to identify what are the areas that are important for me in a relationship. And I figured I would have maybe two or three areas, and then I could just decide to live without that. But before I knew it, there were 26 areas on my list. And then I looked at that and I was like, okay, 26 areas, that's a little too much to go out and start dating from that. So what are the three most important ones? And for me, it was a guy to talk with. I like to talk about life and love and politics and so on. And then it was a handyman because I live in an old house and I'm not very handy. I'm a good assistant, but I can't really, I don't know how to plan projects that are practical. And then I wanted to have a lover for a fun and varied sex life. So I identified these three areas. And then when I was sitting there with that, I got the idea I should have three men. I could talk to a handyman and a lover.
I love it. So, Pauline, we're going into a break. When we return, we'll continue this conversation about this handyman and the philosopher and the lover. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart, while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. You'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Intuitive Transformations on OM Times Radio Network. This is Sylvia Henderson, and I have a wonderful guest with us today, Pauline Middleton from Denmark. And Pauline, before we went to the break, we were talking about how you had started with this very long list of attributes that you appreciated about men that you were willing to actually give up And then you distilled that down into these three very succinct categories of someone who you could talk to about just about anything, like this philosopher type archetype, and then also someone who was a fantastic lover, which that's on everyone's list, and I know it's on mine, you know, and then also having a handyman because you happened to live in a home that needed a lot of repair work and you were a great assistant, but you needed somebody that you could have there to assist. But then when you identified these, you initially it was so you could live without them, right?
Yes. Well, you know, when you're disillusioned and you've had some bad experiences, it is the easiest thing is to actually, you know, stay in that emotion and say, oh, I don't want this anymore. Or
I'm painful.
Hurt. Yeah, it's hurting too much. But then at the same time, I was also looking around and seeing that my friends were also struggling with love. So, you know, I was not the only one. And I figured, okay, maybe I need to rethink this completely. Because apparently it doesn't seem to be a model that's just working for everybody.
I have to agree. I know that I can probably count on one hand the number of friends that I have that are happily married compared to the number of friends I have that are married and aren't quite so happy. They're more in the endurance mode or the tolerating mode. And I'm a divorcee myself, so I totally get what you're saying. But then how did you come up with, okay, I haven't been able to find one guy that has all of these assets that I really feel now that I don't want to do without, right? How did you decide maybe I need to have one guy that just really excels in each individual category?
Well, I could see that it was the expectations were playing quite a dominating role in relationships. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, in research, what they do is that they separate things and identify, okay, if you take all of this apart and then you start adding a factor again, then what happens? And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just make this social experiment for a while and try to see what actually comes out of it. It was also challenging myself in that notion, saying, okay, well, I'm quite sure I can become more conscious about what I'm doing. If there's just one guy for this area, one guy for that area, and one guy for the other area, instead of mixing everything together in the same bowl. So it was an idea I got when I was sitting there looking at these three areas. And then once I'd gotten the idea, I was like, okay, now I'll create a profile and I'll upload it to a dating site and we'll see what happens.
So talk a little bit about this profile that you submitted. How did you word this exactly?
Yeah, that actually took a while. I think it took more than a week for me because I wanted, you know, when I was now not looking for one guy, but for three, I wanted to make sure that the guys could understand my proposal on this dating side. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there saying, okay, well, what would I like in terms of talking? And I was like, well, do you know, I want a guy who can also listen. Well, and, you know, I'm also good at listening. So I had to word it so that it was a conversation. And then I thought of the philosopher, because for me, having good talks with somebody is often based on you knowing something about a subject or wanting to know more, or, you know, there's a certain amount of knowledge in there. So I wrote 10 lines about what kind of talking I liked. And then the handyman, I mentioned some specific things, you know, where I was like, okay, well, I love books and I always buy new books, so I need somebody to hang a new bookshelf. And I also had a lamp and, you know, there were some different things that I needed help with. And then I offered, in return for the handiwork, I offered a hot meal and a cold beer and warm coffee and a fresh cake.
And this you put on the dating site?
Yes, I put that there as well.
I love it.
And then the sex guy or the lover, I was like, that was the part that took the most time. Because I was like, okay, I would like great or a fun and varied sex life. Yeah, okay, fun. What does that mean? Well, it's not laughing fun, you know. It's like, well, what? How could I define it more concretely? Well, I want good sex. Well, what is good sex? Oh, I don't know. I want good sex often. Well, how often is often? You know, so I kept challenging myself to be more concrete. And, you know, when you're a woman in our society, there's nowhere where we're asked to actually stand by our sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more something that's like there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we need procreation and so on. And yeah, of course, women can get an orgasm and it's fine. But, you know, it's something that we don't really talk about. So I made it a point of actually being specific with myself. So I said, okay, I like great sex, attentive sex, curious sex, often. And I was like, okay, how often is often? Is it once a day? And then I felt, oh no, if I write once a day, I get sort of a slut notion in my forehead. Mm. And I didn't want that. And I was at the same time, I was annoyed that I couldn't say once a day. But, you know, I just couldn't. And then I was like, well, if I say once a week, then it's not really me. So what should I write? And then I ended up writing 3 to 4 times a week or whatever we're up for. Because, you know, when I looked back, there were also times when I had a lot less than that. So it was also very much a context-specific thing. And then I wrote that, you know, not being very specific, but still being much more specific than I had ever been online and sending it out to people I didn't know, because I didn't know the men at the other end of the at the receiving line. So, you know, it was, I uploaded that profile.
So I have to ask you, of the 3 profiles that you sent out there, which one got the most interest?
Well, it was the sex one, the lover. But it was only around 60% of the men who said, if you, because, you know, I got a lot of responses from men and they said, oh, woman, you're lucky because I'm a 3-in-1. I said, nah, you know, in order to go on a date with me, you need to choose one of the roles. And they were like, what? Okay, well, then I need to think about it. And then around 60% of the guys, they chose sex. And 30% chose the philosopher, like to talk. And 10% chose the handyman.
This is great. I love this. So, okay. So you ended up with 3 different guys.
Yes.
So here's the situation. 1 woman, 3 men. How does that actually work? I have to tell you, I just came back from a girlfriend's getaway for the weekend. And so there were 13 of us there. And they were like, well, who's on your show? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this amazing woman from Denmark on my show. And she's written this book. And it's about her experience of being 1 woman with 3 men. And they're like, what? How does that work? And I explained how you put it. Each, you know, you had a role for each particular one, and they go, we get it. We totally get it. But how, in actuality, did that work for you?
Well, I was, at that time, I had, my daughter was 11, and I decided that this was an experiment I was making. She was not going to be part of it in any way. So every second week, she was with her dad. And that meant that every second week I had time to myself. And during every second week, I could meet with these guys as much as I wanted to. I could meet with the handyman in the afternoon and fix the bookshelves. I could have dinner with the philosopher, and then I could meet with the lover in the evening. Or I could meet with none of them, because there were sometimes also when I was like, ah, no, now I just want time to myself. You know, I got a sense of liberty and also a sense of being social, being together with somebody if I felt like it. So my needs were very much put at the center of this. You know, early on I had been trying to live up to one guy's expectations. Mm-hmm. Now I had 3 men trying to live up to my expectations. And that simple shift was just really, really interesting to go through.
I mean, how amazing as a woman dating to really be, and sorry guys, but in the power position. Yeah. You know, of saying, this is what I want. And you're in the traditional dating model, it really puts the female at the disadvantage, where when it's a male-female relationship, where they're, you know, women tend to be so insecure anyway, no disrespect, ladies, but honestly, we judge ourselves so harshly, you know, my hair, my face, my body, my, you know, the clothes I'm wearing, it's all so highly scrutinized that you forget to scrutinize the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I love how you put it up out there up front for them, where there was, no, you have to meet my expectations of what I'm looking for. So then, now, did these three guys know that this was all going on?
Yes, they knew it because they had found me through this dating site. And the interesting thing was that many men responded very positively towards the model once they had understood it, because they were like, ah, this is great. It's so good to meet a woman who knows what she wants. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Why is that? Well, you know, because women tend to have a lot of needs, but they're not very concrete, so I don't know how to meet them. And then, you know, with you, I know that if I meet your need, You get happy, you praise me, and then I get happy. I was like, oh, this is actually a simplifying thing, you know, to specify what you need, what you want, what you expect, and then to say thank you when you have it met.
You know, and I also love that, Pauline, because I think you're, you know, what they were voicing is so very true. I think that men are often quite confused about what women want. I mean, men are more like microwaves, and women are more like, you know, a chef's oven with all these knobs and burners and double ovens and complex. And so because what you were able to do was first distill and identify what was most important to you. And I think that's what women forget to do. So when we return, we'll talk more with Pauline Middleton. We'll be back in just a few moments, talking about one woman and three men. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on Om Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Pauline Middleton talking about her book, One Woman, Three Men. So, Pauline, how does this model of one woman and three men differ from an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship?
Well, I would like to tell that, but there was one more comment actually that I had to what we talked about before the break, because when you're dating in the traditional way, you often will experience quite a vulnerable situation when you go on a first date, you know, because you're like, oh, well, is this a soulmate? Is this a match of my life? You know, there are so many questions inside of you when you go on a first date. So you get to feel, oh, okay, okay. You know, you can almost not be completely present there because there's so
a lot
much
of pressure.
Going on.
Huh?
Exactly. And by dating three guys at the same time, you take a lot of that vulnerability out because it's just a meeting. Oh, and because otherwise there's another guy, you know, around the corner, or there's another guy coming up, or you know, and that was really empowering to me when I was dating three guys. You know, that I was not sitting so much in the hope chair of trying to match him and my inner expectations, you know, because there were other fish in the pond.
So before we go to the question that I asked you right after we returned from the break, because what you just said raised another question for me, and where it's quite easy to see if they're, you know, the handyman. I mean, you know, okay, great, you're a good handyman. You screwed the screw in straight and all of that. And so there's some kind of a visual. And then there's the philosopher. So you could tell, you know, can we have a great conversation? Is this an evolving conversation? Could I talk to you for hours? That kind of thing. But then you have the lover guy. So how do you even break the ice with that one? I mean, that's
Well, it is, it can be quite liberating. At least it was for me to just say, okay, I'm looking for a lover. You know, I'm not looking for a guy that I'm in love with to make love with. And, you know, I don't put all of these expectations onto it. I could just kind of look at it as, okay, I'm looking for a lover. The fun thing was that I found out, you know, after a couple of weeks that all of the guys who signed up for the model, they did it to ultimately be intimate with me. So they were saying, okay, I'll be your handyman. But then after three, four dates
really
when we were
handy,
you know, the guy would just look at me and say, is this going to lead to sex as well? And I would look at him and I'd sense and say, nah, you know, not really. And then he'd say, okay, well, I'll find another handyman to help you. Or I would look at the talker, because that happened also, you know, and I was like, after three dates, we had a great evening. We shared a bottle of wine and we're talking and so on. And then I was like, oh my, I feel like for this to continue into my bedroom. And then I looked at the guy and I was like, oh, but is that okay? You know, because he did not sign up as the lover.
Right.
And was I then not respecting the lover and so on? Mm-hmm. And then I figured, well, you know, I didn't promise the lover exclusivity. He had not promised me exclusivity. Mm-hmm. And if the talker and I felt like making love, why not? And then we went ahead and did it. And all of that is, you know, increased my consciousness about what was actually going on in my head. Mm. And often, you know, when you have relationships, a lot of what is not working is going on in your head. So the more you can simplify things and the more you can isolate elements from each other, the more you can also identify where things go wrong. Instead of putting everything into the same bowl and getting all confused.
Instead of making it the story. I mean, having that great clarity is so important in any relationship you have, even in your friendships. I mean, yes. Knowing really who and what you are and what is important to you. And it's really, in a sense, really just good boundaries also.
Yes.
So
And you know, things like this in a relationship with friends or with a lover, you know, things also change. So you may feel like this right now, but then 6 months or 12 months down the lane, you may feel quite differently. And you also, that's why you really need to base yourself in your own expectations and your own longings in order to be able to communicate clearly, also when there are changes.
Yeah, that's so good. So again, the question I asked at the top of when we got back from the break, as soon as we got back from the break, is how does this differ from, or is it the same as an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship? And if not, how does it differ?
Well, you could say this is more before any type of relationship. It's a pre-relationship phase.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you do when you allow yourself to date more than one person is that you allow yourself to explore. None of the what you do is necessarily what's going to signify your love life the next 10 years or anything. It's just something that you're trying out to see, okay, where do things continue to go wrong for me? Or where is my curiosity? What would I really like? You know, you can define the three men roles in different manners than I have. You may want a guy to go hiking within the mountains or a guy to do sports with. You may also look for a guy that you can share your spiritual life with. You know, there are no preconceived definitions. It's all about what are the areas or the characteristics that are most important for you, and then the notion of you choosing the three most important ones. It's the choosing of the three most important ones that's the key in this model. Because first you need to become conscious, and then you need to prioritize.
Yeah.
And many people have a sort of a reluctance to prioritize in love, because we have this ideal that, you know, oh, if you need to talk about it, then it's not real love. And you know, I know it when I meet it. And, you know, we just fell for each other completely head over heels. And fine, that is the falling in love act. But all of the things that come after that, you know, once you're not in love, like fallen in love, you are loving another person. That's a completely different ballgame.
It is.
And we should specify that much more. We should develop a language for it. We should be specific towards our partner. And then, you know, to get back to your question, once you have allowed yourself to put the automatic pilot on standby and to define what you are looking for, then is the time to actually also ask yourself, would I like to have a monogamous relationship? Or would I like to have an open relationship where I have a primary partner, but we are allowed, each of us, to have other sexual partners? Or would I like to live a polyamorous life where I have more, I have partners who are parallel in importance to me? It's a choice you can make. And it's a choice you can make for the next year or next couple of years. And then when you find that, okay, now I'm at the end of where I need to go with this, then you can choose something else.
So for the most part, I don't know what it's like in Denmark, but in the United States, it seems that men have kind of been above, ahead of this bell curve, because men are traditionally the ones that are stereotypically thought of as having the wandering eye, the wandering hands, forgive me, the wandering penis.
You know? Yes. So exactly.
You know, we'll have these relationships on the side that, you know, sometimes women will pretend they're not aware of or will tolerate for different reasons to stay in the relationship. And so do you feel like this is a solution to that? I mean, if to flip it around, like if we could just be more open with this is an exploratory process, you know, really more like a way to self, to even figure out yourself and what's
yes.
really important and what really works for you, you know,
yeah.
I mean, versus this automatic monogamy.
Yeah, because, you know, when I was looking at, like you're saying, the way that some men behave, I was saying, hey, actually they're onto something, because they will have women fulfill different needs for them. What they don't do is that they don't tell the women, I actually also have other women. And that's what I don't like about the model. So that's why I said, okay, how about if I take the same attitude and allow myself to have different men? And I knew that, you know, it was going to be quite attracting attention. when I came out with the book here in Denmark. And it was, you know, I was all over the media and everybody wanted to talk to me about these experiences because many people, like we were talking about earlier, are frustrated with the present situation in their love life. So they want to hear about new ways of doing things. So I was inspired by the men, and I said to myself and to other women now, empower yourself, you know, take it upon yourself to define what you want. Be specific, be open about it, and then see what the men say.
So at what point in a woman's relationship history or experience do you suggest that they might start thinking about following this model?
Well, they can do it at any time in their life, but a woman who is 25 will use the model in different manners than a woman who's 72. When you've had maybe not so many experiences in your early 20s, then you can use this model to be more specific about, okay, where should I go look? What am I actually wanting to see happen? Instead of just sitting there and waiting to be found. Even though that it sounds a bit naive that women should be sitting there waiting to be found, when you start talking with women, you realize that there are many women out there who are like waiting for love to find them. And that's not really
a situation.
Nah, not. They need to be really lucky for good love to find them just like that.
And so this approach gives them I love how it just really puts women in the power position, so to speak, because you're very clear and it takes all the guessing away from the guy in terms of, you know, because I'm sure that there were some gentlemen that pursued you or answered the ad that you go, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, we're going into another break, everyone. When we return, we'll talk more with Pauleen Middleton. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness and action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Transformations Radio. So, Pauline, I have to ask you this. So here you are, you're using this model. It's starting to really work for you, right? What do you, you know how women are. I want to tell my girlfriend about the new guy in my life. So how how did your friends take this as you were going through this social experiment, so to speak?
Well, in the beginning, I actually didn't tell anybody about it because I was like, okay, this is, you know, maybe it's not going to work. Maybe I'm like, I don't want to share these experiences. So the first months I didn't tell anybody. But then when I found out, okay, it was actually working for me, then I told my two best girlfriends. And one of them, she said, oh my, woman, you got to stop this. Your reputation is going to be completely ruined. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I'll live with that because this is fun. Whereas my other friend, she was like, oh, I love this. Where can I sign up? And do you have any men in surplus that you don't want that I can have? You know, let's go for it, girl. So, and these two were the sort of different ends of the spectrum of the reactions I got. I also want to mention that I didn't tell my family at first because family values and family expectations are actually, I found that out, are actually can be quite dominating in your ideals of a love life.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you grow up with a certain image of it or a certain ideal, and your mom may have told you, put an ideal into you that she cannot live up to herself. But she's done it, you know, out of her best efforts and so on. So, but it's just something, you know, by not involving your family in it, you allow yourself to step outside the line. And I needed that. And I also didn't want to involve my daughter. But then, of course, when I decided to write a book based on my experiences, you know, it would, what's going to come out in the open. Right. So at that point, I sat down with my family and explained it. And I also said to my daughter, well, you know, now I've written this book. It's about an adult issue. And, you know, I don't want you to listen to any of the interviews or see any of the TV things where I'm in, because it's adult and you're only 15 years old. So, you know, we can talk about that later when you're older. And, you know, if you meet somebody and they ask you about this book, just say, well, you know, my mom, she's a bit crazy, and this is just one of her crazy projects. So, you know, I wanted her to be able to not have to forced to have an opinion about what I was doing. And that worked out well. You know, she was very happy about that.
So now this actually led to you ending up in marriage.
Yes.
Which is a monogamous marriage.
Yeah, it is.
So then, how did that happen? Here you are, you've got this three guy relationship thing that's working out for you. And at one point you had left it and then you went back. You went into a monogamous relationship and said, let me go back to this other thing. It was working really well. Is that correct?
Well, I could also have started an open relationship if that was what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the model itself does not lead to any specific relationship. Mm-hmm. But what it helps is it's a catalyst for you to find out what kind of relationship do you long for. So, you know, after I had lived with this model for a year and a half and I evaluated my experiences, then I was like saying, okay, well, the talking part, that's really important for me. And the sex part, that's also still important. Whereas the handyman, I can always hire a guy if I need some specific things done. So that wasn't as important. Whereas I'd found out that some of the guys were somewhat provoked, but when I had to start a new writing project, you know, I'm a writer, I do research, I do writing, I do rewriting and so on. So every now and then I would have to kind of bury myself in my writing project. And some of the guys didn't respond positively to that. So I wanted to have a partner that was fine with that.
That would allow you some autonomy and allow you to have your time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I figured, okay, well, I can continue dating three guys. It was, I mean, just the logistics of it is somewhat challenging because there's changes on one of the roles and then you meet this guy, and then you meet another guy, and then you develop emotions for the philosopher and want to have make love with him. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on. It's a really sort of also dense and filled time. Mm-hmm. So I found that it was difficult for me to get into a deep relationship with any of these guys, you know, because they were constantly overtaking for each other. So after a year and a half, it felt a little more like, okay, now I'm ready to move on.
So for you to say it wasn't easy for you, didn't find that you could get deep with either three of these guys, or when you even carve out the handyman, at least those two, the lover and the philosopher, which would be the most likely that potential for you going deeper with. So,
well, I could, but it was constantly being challenged by the agreement that we had made in the beginning. Because, you know, I mean, these guys, I was not the only one that they were seeing. So actually, right. If you added up, you know, there were maybe like 9 people being involved with each other if they also had 3. They
right.
could maybe have had 2, or, but you know, there was, and when you know that when you have many things cooking, there are also many possibilities coming up, and then this
right.
party there, and this reception here, and let's meet, and you know, so. At least the way I had structured it, I was not able to go deep enough. I wanted a deep relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you met the man that you ended up marrying?
Yeah, yeah. And for him, monogamy is the way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. You know, I've had my share of experiences, and that's not where my inkling lies, to have more sexual partners than one. So yeah, this is great. You know, we fulfill each other's needs, and we don't need to fulfill all each other's needs. Mm-hmm. And that is really, really nice.
So do you think one of the reasons that this works so well for you, though, the one woman, three men model, is because, you know, in talking to you, you sound very self-assured, like you're a woman who really knows who you are and what you want. And then that way, your emotional state was able to remain, I don't want to say contained. I don't think that's the right word for it. But you weren't carried off into the normal fantasy kind of love elixir that most people fall into with that connective energy of being with someone.
Yeah, because I had realized that you know, there is in that spectrum, there was a huge amount of me dreaming and quite little of me actually getting what I was dreaming about.
And
the fact that my dreams were so big meant that I was constantly dissatisfied, sometimes a little, sometimes a lot, and that was not good for me. So this is much better because I feel I'm grounded in myself. I know what's important, and I also know, okay, now this is developing into a direction that I don't really feel good about. Then I can voice it. Whereas early on, it would be really difficult for me to voice it. Because I didn't know if it was this aspect or that aspect, or what emotion was it, or maybe I was just being too picky or too demanding. And, you know, this constant self-evaluation that was going on, I gave it a different framework. I said to myself, okay, limit yourself. Don't go into all areas at the same time.
Well, I think that honestly, when I first got the book, I was like, wow, how did she do that, first of all, without mm-hmm. that whole connection? But I can see how this model could actually be a therapeutic. I mean, it sounds really weird, but it could be therapeutic in many ways because it forces everybody in the relationship, really, to identify what's important to them.
Yeah, yeah. And then once you know that, then there is a possibility for you to blossom in those areas.
Yeah.
So you actually, I found that I live much more truly and wholly today.
And authentically.
And authentically than I have ever done.
Yeah. And that's something that, boy, I tell you, the planet sure needs some authenticity right about now, especially in the United States political arena. But that's a whole nother show altogether.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, wow, this has really been so fantastic to have you here on the show, Pauline, because you've definitely I feel like the work, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you do as a modern love coach, but do you help individuals through this process so that they can negotiate it with a little more ease and grace? Or
yeah, if that's what they want, you could basically say I help them to become more conscious about themselves in terms of love, you know, to raise their consciousness. So, and some of the women, they want to then date three guys. Others, they want to find a monogamous guy. Others want a polyamorous lifestyle. You know, it starts with you becoming conscious of what is important and then sticking to it, prioritizing and then sticking to what's important.
I love it because it really is about the consciousness, no matter what your choice is, making that choice a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Well, Pauline, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, all the way from Denmark. Bless your heart, because I know when we started the show, it was 3:00 in the morning where you are. So love and gratitude to you. Everyone, if you want to know more about Pauline, please visit her website, modernloveandsex.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'll be back again next Sunday with more.
Thank you, Sylvia.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye.